You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Thank you for being here this morning on this Memorial Day weekend Sunday. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and be opening to the book of Hebrews 13th chapter as we're about to come to the end of the book of Hebrews. Most of you know this about me because I've told you many, many, many times. If I can't eat a filet mignon, I had rather have a sandwich. I really had. I love sandwiches. Now, you've heard me say this many times. When I order a cheeseburger, let's say, I don't do what you guys do. I order a cheeseburger plain with nothing on it. I can't imagine doing what some of you do and having a great piece of meat and putting out all that other stuff on it that takes away from the true taste of the meat. I just can't do that. So I drive through a restaurant, and when I drive through a restaurant and I'm going through the fast food, I'm assuming that the person who's waiting on me, who is young, is probably being flirted by with someone else in the restaurant. So I don't just order a plain cheeseburger. When I say cheeseburger and they hit that button, I'm assuming they're flirting with somebody, and therefore they don't hear what I'm going to say next when I say plain, and then it's going to have some of that stuff you put on it. So I say, I want a cheeseburger plain with nothing on it. And then Salisa gets aggravated when I say, that means I just want meat and cheese. Does that make sense? I'll never forget one time I was in a fast food restaurant and the person asked me, does that mean you don't want bread? How can you have a cheeseburger and it not have bread? Now, bread, if you eat a sandwich like I eat, is very important. Matter of fact, one of my favorite sandwiches was when we used to go to the state fair, and I would go out on the fairgrounds, and there would be a place that served hamburgers between two Krispy Kreme donuts as bread. Wow. Just last night, we was in a restaurant in downtown Murray, and Garnet ordered a chicken sandwich, but his chicken sandwich came between two waffles. Wow. Now, please understand, if you're like me, the bread sometimes makes the sandwich. We've been at a place, and I'd say, man, this burger would be so good, and I would name another place's bread if they had that bread. Oh, I see you shaking your head. You know what I mean. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is because this morning we're going to feast on a sandwich that the preacher to this young Jewish house church that's struggling, he's going to serve us a sandwich. So if you have your Bible, stand with me and let's open to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 7 through 17, and I want you to see the bread, I want you to see the meat, and then I want you to get ready because I think this sandwich is really, really good. Everybody ready? Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 7, the Word of God says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not foods," listen to this, "which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For we have no lasting city here, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Father, second time this morning, we're going to ask you to bless afresh this amazing sandwich from Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you for letting me be in the spiritual kitchen, so to speak, all week long when Corey told me the passage I was going to get to teach. Wow. And Father, I pray now that as we take it out of the oven again, all that is fresh and that it meets the spiritual needs of each person that is here. And Father, let us understand this is a sandwich that we don't just eat today, but we can literally eat the rest of our lives. Father, you know my heart. You know the heart of everyone that's here. Father, I do not want to be a speaker only. I want to be a doer of your word. And Father, I know this congregation does not want to be a hearer only. They want to be doers of your word. So we're asking right now for you to do only what you can do, and that's take your Holy Spirit and illuminate our eyes and our hearts to the truth. And then give us the courage and give us some motivation to life this out on a daily basis. Thank you, Father. In the precious name of your Son, we give you all the honor and all the glory. Amen. You may be seated. Did you see the meat? Did you see the bread? Now, when you eat a sandwich, you know you have a top piece of bread and you have a bottom piece of bread and then the meat's in the middle. My humble opinion, the bread of this sandwich is verse 7 and verse 17. And the meat is verse 8 through 16. Just as Jesus would sometimes in the Gospels take a story and cut it in two and let the first story hold the truth of the second story, this young Jewish preacher lets two truths hold the main meat of this passage together. Notice he starts out by saying, remember who? Your leaders. Those who spoke to you the word of God. Analyze, consider their manner of life and imitate their faith. And then he goes on to start talking about some stuff. And then when he comes back to verse 17, he says, obey your leaders. Submit to those who watch over your souls as they will give an account. Now here's what I want to do if you will let me. I want us to talk first about the bread and put it together. I don't want to talk about the top piece, then do the meat, do the bottom piece. I want to put the two pieces of bread together. This is holding the meat together. It's going to be one of the last things this writer is going to say to us. And what's he going to say to us? Remember your leaders. Scholars tell me this word leaders means those who have authority over us, those who rule over us. And in the context here, this is not talking about government leaders, but church leaders. And no doubt it's talking about the elders of the church, the pastors of the church. This preacher is wanting the congregation to remember those who ruled over them, those who had spiritual authority over them, who actually brought them the word of God, those men who took the Old Testament scriptures and realized they were types and shadows, and then pointed them to their fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice this is the past tense, which means these leaders are probably not with them anymore. And here's the thought. They're probably the first martyrs. As persecution is beginning to break out on the church, the government of Rome is going after the pastors. And many of these Christian guys laid their life down. And now this young preacher standing in the pulpit preaching this sermon, not writing a letter, preaching a sermon, wants them to remember, bring back to their minds that man who influenced you, those men who influenced you with the word of God. He said, I want you to analyze right now. I want you to consider, put your focus on, gaze upon the way in which they lived their life. And then imitate their faith. I don't know if this is true, but somebody told me one time when I was a little troubled that imitation is the best form of flattery. Have any of you ever heard that before? Did y'all know I didn't know I walked the way I walked till we had a young girl in this church years ago in the beginning of my ministry who would, behind my back, walk the way I walked and everybody would laugh. Do you know I had a young guy go on social media and stand before a group of college kids going, oh. Yeah, that's what this word imitate means. Try to be like them. Follow them. Follow them how? Follow them in their faith. Follow them in the relationship they have with Jesus Christ. Because see, here's what this young preacher is saying. He's just went through the Hebrew Hall of Faith. And now he's saying, you had a Hall of Faith with you. He was the person who introduced you to the Word of God. Don't forget that person. And then he's going to give us the meat of the sandwich, but I want you to see the bottom loaf first. The bottom piece of bread when he says, obey your leaders, obey your pastor, obey your elder, and submit to them. Why? For they're keeping watch over your souls, and they're going to give an account. This word obey literally means to come under in order to hear. The word submit means to bring ourselves under in order for there to be order. It's kind of a military term. Us parents know this first word. How many times have you told your kid to do something, your kid didn't do it, and then you looked at your kid and said, did you hear me? And they said, yes, and you said, no, you didn't. Why did you say, no, you didn't? Because when they didn't do what you told them to do, you assumed they didn't what? Hear you. So what's this young preacher saying to the church? Listen to, bring yourself under what your pastors, leaders are teaching you. Submit to their authority. Why? Because they're watching out for you. They're watching over your soul. They are spiritual shepherds, he's saying. These are the present tense guys in this church's life. He said, they're going to give an account, no doubt, to God for the way they shepherd you. And then here's what he teaches the church. Your response to them can produce in them joy, or it can produce in them groaning. Now, I've got to complain about you. Can I complain? A little over a year ago, I stood before you after 42 years of serving as your pastor, and I told you it was time for us to transition to a new pastor. And I told you 6 or 7 times, I am not resigning. I am not retiring. Did I say that? Do you know what's happened to me for the last 13, 14 months? Everywhere I go, you know what people say to me in the county? How are you enjoying retirement? Can I just ask this question? Who in here went out and lied to the community and said Brother Ricky was retiring? I have not retired. Now, can I be clear? Because of the way you treated me for 42 years, I will never retire. Because it's been an absolute joy getting to do what I do. So why would I want to retire? I want to do this till the day that I die. I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. But if you want me to retire, you better start treating me bad. Because there's never been much groaning on Brother Ricky's part as a pastor. Because you have treated me so well. You have followed me. You have responded in such a glorious way that it's brought joy to my life for me to get to do what I have got to do. Thank you. Now, I didn't plan on doing this, but y'all know I'm not the lead pastor anymore. And the lead pastor, under the influence of what? iChat, GPT, or something like that, just put something up on the screen that I think looked really, really good. Why don't we follow his leadership? And before the day's over, why don't we raise that $25,000? Amen. So write that $50 check, but some of us need to write a $5,000 check. Amen. And we can do this for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Now, this holds the message together, the meat. Because here's the truth. Pastors, they come and go. They come and go. But guess who never comes and goes? Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, 3 times this week, I closed my laptop and said, how can a scholar say this verse, verse 8, is out of context? Why did the writer say, after saying, remember your leaders, why did he come back and throw in Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Here's why he threw it in there. You're not always going to have a pastor that brought the word of God to you. You're going to lose him. But you know who you'll never lose? You'll never lose Jesus Christ. And can I just be on record as saying here, the only reason you follow your pastor the way this young preacher says for you to follow your pastor is because ultimately you're not following your pastor. Ultimately, you're following Jesus Christ. And he never changes. Amen? Therefore, if he never changes, why are some in the church being led away by diverse and strange teaching? Wow. See, this young church, Jewish, hearing about Jesus Christ, putting their faith in him, now inviting family and friends. Now there's people sitting in the congregation that they're tempted to be led away from Jesus. And their young preacher's saying, don't be led away, not because of your pastor. Don't be led away because of Jesus. And here's what he tells them. Be strengthened in your heart by God's grace, not by foods, which haven't been helping those who are devoted to them. So don't you listen to me. It's not about what's in your belly or what's not in your belly. It's about what's in your heart or what's not in your heart. And you know what this preacher wants in the heart of his church? He wants them to have God's grace. Heart here stands for the seat of the personality. It's our will. It's what makes us who we are. And what this preacher wants in the heart of his congregation is God's grace, God's enabling power. You know this. Brother Ricky likes to say, grace is Jesus doing for us what we could not do for ourselves so that we can now do what he did, live an obedient life to the Father. Amen? How do we do that? We do that by God's enabling grace. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, when he talked about how bad he used to be, gives full credit for who he is at that very moment to the grace of God. I am who I am by God's grace. And that's what needs to be in our heart. What needs to be in our heart is the enabling power of God, not do's and don'ts, not a form of legalism. And if I can be bold here, here's what this young Jewish preacher is saying to a Jewish congregation who is tempted to go back into Judaism and put their faith and trust in animal sacrifices instead of the sacrifice of Christ. Here's what he says. Those dietary laws under Moses absolutely accomplished nothing. Get over it. Can Brother Ricky say amen? The New Testament is clear. We as the church of Jesus Christ are not under the law of Moses. We are not under the dietary laws. And we are not under the commands or the prohibitions. We are under the grace of God. How dare you live under law? How dare you be led away from Christ by you thinking there's something you can do in your own flesh in adherence to what God wants you to do, and somehow that give you the strength to be who you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do? It's not possible. And this young Jewish preacher just says to this Jewish congregation, how's it working for the nation of Israel? It's not working at all. It's not making them right with God. Wow. So I'm going to ask you what's in your belly. What's in your heart? Be honest. What's in your heart? Now remember the context. We got a group of people who are wanting to go back to the law of Moses. They're wanting to go back to an animal sacrifice. Because if they go back to the animal sacrifice, being Jewish, Rome's not going to bother them yet. But if they continue to follow Christ as a Jew, they could lose their home. They could lose their spouse. They could lose their children. They could lose their life. They could lose their job. So there's a temptation to go back. Does that make sense? Now, look at the next verse. Next verse. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. Whoa. Now, this is why I'm calling this a sandwich. He's getting ready to get into the real meat. Y'all ready for this? We, the church, we Christians, have an altar that we can eat from that no Jewish person has a right to eat from. Not even the priests who are offering the sacrifices can eat of the altar you and I eat from. Whoa, has this got your attention? Has this got your attention? Yeah. Because the nation of Israel is always in our American news, correct? But listen to this. This is a Jewish preacher saying to a Jewish church, we the Christians, have an altar that we eat of that no Jew has a right to eat from. hold it. I thought if we were the priestly tribe of Israel, after I brought my lamb to them and they sacrificed the lamb and gave it to God for what I did wrong, then they could keep the meat of the lamb and that's how they fed their family, right? Except one time a year. One time a year, there was an offering that was made that when that high priest chose the animal, he first, on the Day of Atonement, chose an animal for his sins, laid his hands on that animal, transferred his sin to that animal, took that in, sprinkled it on the altar, the mercy seat. Then he come back out and brought an animal in that had the sin of the whole nation put on it, and then he sprinkled that blood. He and his family didn't get to eat of that animal because that animal was making atonement for the sin of the nation, and it was rolling their sin forward for another year. You remember what they done to that animal? For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. Verse 11. Whoa. Now follow me. That sacrifice, that Lamb of God that rolled sin forward, once the blood was offered, nobody could eat the flesh. They took the body of that animal outside the camp, completely away from them, and they burned the body. And the person who burned the body had to wash himself before he could even come back where the people were. So no priest had ever eat of the sacrifice that made Israel right with God. Y'all following me? Following me? Look at the next verse. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Whoa. Y'all ready for this? What is the altar from which we eat that nobody else can eat? It's the place where Jesus was crucified. Wow. Where was he crucified? Did Israel recognize who he was as the Lamb of God and bring him into the courtyard of the Israelite and offer him to God and sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat? No! They rejected him. The Lamb of God didn't die inside the camp. After they had beat him to an inch of life, after they had humiliated him, after they had mocked him, after they put that beam of wood on him and they led him through the streets outside the city to a hill called Golgotha. And between two thieves, they hung him on that vertical beam of wood. They nailed him to it. And for 6 hours, he hung there. And everybody that passed by thought he was a criminal. He was worthy of the death penalty. You only crucify criminals. You only crucify sinners. And here's the reproach he bore. Your reproach. My reproach. He became sin on that. Cross. He laid his life down. He took his blood into the true Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and made atonement for your sin. And you know what you and I are invited to do? We're invited to eat of the one sacrifice that's made us right with God. Wow. We feast on who Jesus is and what he has done for each one of us. Don't be offended by this, but the Jewish nation does not have the right, according to this author, to eat of that sacrifice. Why? I don't care what you hear on the news. Israel is not God's covenant people. I don't say that anti-Jewish. I love the nation of Israel, but I also love the world. Because my Bible says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Who are God's covenant people? It's you and me, the church of Jesus Christ. And he's saying to us, we can eat where nobody has ever eaten before. You know where we can eat? We can eat where the high priest can't even eat. We can eat at the very altar of God, where God put Jesus on that cross. Did he not say himself to a Jewish crowd after he'd fed 5,000 people? Did he not say, I'm the bread that come down from heaven? Did he not say eat? Did he not say drink? Did he not say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me? But if you do eat and you do drink, you have eternal life. So what's our relationship with God pictured as? Our relationship with God is pictured as you and I sitting down at the dinner table of Jesus every day and consuming him. Is this you? You feed your belly three times a day and you snack your belly most times during the day, and yet you never feast on Jesus. Come on, be honest. You're just reading a few scriptures. And oh yeah, when you get in trouble, yeah, you call on him. No. We get to eat where no one has ever gotten to eat before. We get to be strengthened in our heart by God's enabling grace as we fellowship with God on a daily basis, so that we can live the life he wants us to live, so that it will be evident of who we are. We are believer priests of God. Amen. So I just want to ask you this. When you look at your plate, your relationship with Jesus, how much food's still left on the table? Don't many of us just pick at our food? Shame on us. Shame on us. We've got to eat of him. Listen to what the writer says. Therefore, since he's what? Been outside the gate, face that humiliation to sanctify us through his blood, to make us right with him through his blood. Therefore, let us go to him. Where are we going to go to him? Outside the camp. And what? Bear the reproach he bore. I hope the church in America, and I hope the church in Hardin, understands we are not on the inside. Quit wanting to be an insider. Our Jesus wasn't on the inside. He's on the outside. And you know where we're supposed to go? To him. You know where he is? He's on the outside. And you know what he bore? Reproach, a stigma. He suffered. He suffered. And we've been led away, many of us, from him and the true gospel because we've been taught culturally that God don't want us to suffer. We have Christianized Old Testament passages about Israel and made them about the church. And it's wrong. We are following Christ. And he lived on the outside so that we can move to the outside and bear the reproach he bore. Bear the stigma he bore. People are not going to understand why we do what we do. And here's what he goes on to tell us. For here, for, he's, if you're a grammar person like me, you know, therefore, now for, he's given us reasons. For, here, right here in Hardin, we have no lasting what? City. But well, we're sure trying to make it look like we do, don't we? Yeah. It's all about here. Not according to this writer. Not according to the New Testament. According to the New Testament, here we have no lasting city. But we what? Seek the city that is to come. Our eyes not on here. Our eyes on there. And he just told us about the city in Hebrews chapter 12. We come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, where those angels gather. That's what our life is about. Our life is not about life here. Our life is about the next life. And this is preparation for that life. Because that's why he died on that cross. That's why he bore our reproach. And that's why you and I bear the reproach of others. Because we will not led away by that belief that life's about me. You know who life's about? It's about him. And it's about them. Amen. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Oh, glory. See, I go outside to him, and once I go outside to him and begin to eat of him, then it's through him. He's empowering me now by his grace to do what? Offer up a sacrifice of praise. Now, hold it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. In the Old Testament, could anybody in Israel offer a sacrifice? No, you had to be of the priestly tribe. Can I be honest with you? You know what I'm looking at right now? I'm looking at the priestly tribe of God. Woo, glory. And you know who the priestly tribe of God is today? It's the Church of Jesus Christ. We are all believer priests of God. And you know what priests do? They offer sacrifices. You know what sacrifice God wants each one of us offering as we live our daily life, not just on Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, at work, at school, at the ball game, at the gas station, at the restaurant. What's supposed to be coming out of our lips? A sacrifice of praise. To who? God. Wow. Can I just ask you a question? Has anybody noticed you're a priest? I mean, is there anybody asking you, hey, why are you always, I mean, no matter what happens to you, why are you always praising God? Why are you always looking at the God side of something? And that gives you the opportunity to say, I'm a priest. And you can be too. And then he says, do not neglect to do good or share with others. Wow. We give the sacrifice of praise, but we give the sacrifice of doing right with others. And then we, y'all ready for this? Share. I'm going to say something I didn't say in first service. Is that okay? We tried to teach our kids to share. Sometimes they struggled to share because they thought what was theirs was theirs. But Mimsy and Papa knew the only reason it was theirs was because we provided it for them. So we want them to share. We want the grandkids to share. You know what God wants from us? He wants us to share what you've got with others. You say, but it's mine. Mm-mm. Not if you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you firmly believe this, that everything you have because God arranged for you to be where you are, to do what you do, to make what you make and have what you have. Therefore, it's not yours, it's his, and he gave it to you, and therefore he sent you, share. 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 Why do we share? Because of who we are. We're priests of God. How can we share when others don't share? Because we're feasting at the table of Jesus. Can I say this? We have the meat. We have the meat. It's Jesus Christ. Can I say this? Filet mignon of God. Amen? Not turkey, not chicken, not bologna. The filet mignon of God. Let's be who he wants us to be. You are not dismissed. You are sent. Have a great, great Memorial Day weekend.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.